Welcome to the Vineyard Church Weekly Message Podcast. We hope you will be encouraged and challenged today as you listen to a message from one of our speakers. Prepare your heart and get ready to receive a word from God today.
We're going to be in the Old Testament book of 1 Samuel this morning, which is going to be about a quarter of a way through a paper Bible. You can look it up on your phone. 1 Samuel 16. It's a fairly easy book to find because it's got several chapters. And by the way, it's a book of the Bible that's written in a bunch of it is story form, and so it's not a bad book of the Bible to read. If you're brand new to the Bible, I would encourage you to probably start in the New Testament. There are four books in the New Testament called Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and they just tell the story of Jesus. That's a great place to be as well. But we'll be in 1 Samuel. The opening thought comes from a question: how appearance-oriented are you? Generally, as a population, we're fairly appearance-oriented. Here's some statistics. American households spend $1,500 a year on clothing. Some of you are thinking, well, I don't spend that much. And some of you are thinking, that's nothing. Just an FYI, the women spend 40% more on clothing than men do. I thought I would just add that. I'm not sure why. Just thought I'd add that. That's why you look so good, ladies. Americans spend, $15,000 in their lifetime on skincare. That seems like a lot. And consumers spend about $90 billion on beauty products annually. I don't know if it's working. Just had that thought, just this service. Like, you'd think $90 billion, we'd all be looking amazing. But I'm not sure. I guess we're trying really hard. I got my own things here in my life where I care somewhat about outward appearance. So a while back, this is my daily hydration lotion. I don't know. I was like, I think at a hotel where they had this, and I tried it. I thought, man, this is way better than my 99-cent whatever stuff. And so now, I'm just being honest, I pay up for this. It's like 10 bucks. I pay for this, and I'm not sure it's helping. But in the morning, it just feels a little bit better. So, and this is my every once in a while hair shampoo that's supposed to control the grays, which it doesn't really. But I'm trying. Some of you are like, yeah, we know. I'm like, okay, welcome to my world. Well, we try things. It's why I often wear dark shirts up here, because it's supposed to make me look a little thinner and make this not look quite as, I don't know. You get it. We're most of us are at least somewhat outward appearance oriented. Shift. God is very different than we are regarding these things. Does that make sense? He's not so focused on outward appearance. In Revelation chapter 5, verse 9, it's giving a picture of what heaven will be like with the groups of people that will be there. It's talking about how Jesus paid the price for forgiveness of all kinds of people. With your blood, you purchased for God persons from every tribe and language and people and nation. There'll be a lot of people looking very in all differently, all kinds of different looks from the outside. In Jeremiah 17, God talking about himself says, I, the Lord, search the heart and examine the mind. Those are internal things. In John 7, he challenges us. Look beneath the surface so that you can judge correctly. One more. Oh, regarding Jesus himself. It says of the Savior, he had no beauty or majesty to attract us to him. Nothing in his appearance that we should desire him. His amazingness was not the way he looked. The amazing stuff was what came out from his inside. So hold those thoughts. We're kicking off, I think it's a 5-week series called The Inside Story. God gets to the real issues. And our hope with this series is to set the stage for God to get underneath some of the surface of our lives, maybe even in our friends' lives. Maybe we could be helpful with other people. Because I think we all know that if you're really going to make life change, improvements, get better, more mature, all the things that a lot of us would like to be, that starts in the inside. I don't fix me by wearing a dark shirt. Thanks for the amen. 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 The shampoo isn't working either. It's just, we know this. And yet, can we also admit sometimes it's a challenge to not just focus on the outside stuff. We spend oftentimes maybe too much time doing that instead of, you know, getting at the things that would really be effective in our lives. So, our plan is to look at different Bible texts where that I think will help us get under the surface, where Jesus went deep with someone, where a person navigated life in a deeper way, and it worked out, it was just to their benefit. So we're going to start with this text that if you've been around the church or the Bible, you may have heard part of this story before. It's where God is going to identify a new king whose name is David, but he's choosing David because of his heart. If you know the whole story of David, it's said multiple times, David's heart was right before the Lord. Background, I'm going to give you quite a bit of background. The Israelites are God's people in this story, and they're kind of whining to God because it feels like they want to be more like every other nation. So they start crying out to God, we want a king. Everybody else has a king. We want a king. And deep down, God was like, how about I be your king? But they were like, no, we want to be like everybody else. Give us a king. So this is the first pass at a king. God gave them a guy, his name was Saul, who by appearance looked like, oh yeah, that'll be a great king. He was a head taller than everybody else. So if you'd have been in a group, you might have thought, if somebody said, well, who would be a good king? I think let's go for the tall guy, because he just, right? Anyway, his performance wasn't all that great. So that was the first round of the king. Now, God is going to choose David as part of that. And God is choosing David with a different, this is God's choice. He's like, all right, now I'm going to give you someone that I would want to be your king. And it's, again, the heart thing. So here's kind of this process where God is going to send a prophet to a guy named Jesse's house. Jesse has 8 sons. David is one of them. And David's going to end up, by the end of the story, getting identified as the next king. 1 Samuel 16:1. The Lord said to Samuel, how long will you mourn for Saul since I have rejected him as king over Israel? Fill your horn with oil and be on your way. I'm sending you to Jesse of Bethlehem. I have chosen one of his sons to be king. There's a few verses of dialogue between Samuel and God, but eventually Samuel says, okay. And he's going. Now, he doesn't know which one of the sons will be king. He's just part of this process. It says, when they arrived, Samuel saw Eliab and thought, surely the Lord's anointed stands here before the Lord. But the Lord said to Samuel, Samuel's the prophet, do not consider his appearance or his height, for I have rejected him. The Lord... This is the verse you may have heard something like, the Lord does not look at the things people look at. People look at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. Then Jesse called Abinadab and had him pass in front of Samuel. But Samuel said, "The Lord has not chosen this one either." Jesse then had Shammah pass by, but Samuel said, "Nor has the Lord chosen this one." This is pretty easy to picture. Jesse had seven of his sons pass before Samuel, but Samuel said to him, "The Lord has not chosen any of these." So he asked Jesse, the dad, "Are these all the sons you have?" "There is still the youngest," Jesse answered. "He is tending the sheep." Just a few more verses. Samuel said, "Send for him. We will not sit down until he arrives." So he sent for him and had him brought in. He was glowing with health, had a fine appearance and handsome features. Then the Lord said, "Rise and anoint him. This is the one." Again, the series is the inside story. God's get to the real issues. And today, I want to explore basically what does God going deep look like? In hopes that if God wants to go deep in our lives over the next 5 weeks, we would know, like, oh, this could be God's activity. I don't want to miss it, because there's a couple things I think we can learn from the text. Let's pause, pray. And you might think of an area of your life you know right now, like, God, I want you to dig in, because these principles might help you be more available for that. So, Father, not just today, but over the next 5 weeks, by the way, not just on the weekends, maybe throughout the week, a bunch of us would say to you right now, we're ready. We need you. We want you to do some stuff on the inside of us. So, will you be our teacher this morning and the whole series, and fix us. Fix some of the stuff, God, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, two ideas. First one is this. Getting below the surface, or going deep, takes enduring some, if you want to write it down, it's rejection. Rejection. And then off to the side, you could just write the word like challenge in the midst of it. In the story, there's quite a bit of rejection in this account. We often think of this story as the story of God choosing David. But you could also title this story the story of God rejecting seven of David's brothers. Like, the bulk of the story is about God going, nope, that's not, if you look at the text, Samuel comes, Eliab, yeah, this is the guy, right? But the Lord says to Samuel, I have rejected him. Then Abinadab comes and Samuel, nope, the Lord has not chosen this one either. Shammah, mm-mm. Seven of the sons passed by, but the Lord said, I have not chosen these. Just so you know, this word rejected is not a warm, fuzzy word. In the original language, it means rejected. It's mas. It's got a lot of edge to it. It means to reject, to be abhorred, cast away completely or utterly reject or despise. So to have a clear picture of this moment in Jesse's household, it would have been fairly harsh when Eliab walked in and Samuel would say, no, the Lord has rejected you. There's no courtesy hug by the prophet. He doesn't come over and go, now I'm sure the Lord has a plan for your life tomorrow. Bring it in. Eliab, you're very tall. I'm sure you're going to be great at something. Come on. Here's your participation trophy. Keller certificate, because we're all winners. Right? It's just none of that. It's like, wrong, not good enough, this couldn't be it. And by the end of the story, he's like, is this all you, this is paraphrase, is this all you got? Jesse, is this all you got? You got seven, this is your family? So here's the idea. You can write this in. When God is searching hearts, he isn't always gentle. He isn't always gentle. Now, by the way, we're going to get to the point where this non-gentleness is super helpful. But right now, I would pause and ask, how many of you have experienced the not-so-gentle side of God's clarity or rejection or challenge in your life? I have, where he says, that, I reject that. That is unacceptable. Some of you, I know the story when my kids were smaller. I struggled with getting frustrated with my kids and my volume would rise. I was the yelling. I didn't do it all the time, but too often I'd be yelling at my kids. And by the way, I got healed from being the yelling dad in one day. I was the yelling dad for more than one day. I went on for a while. And I remember when, I don't know if this is, would have been the word that God used, I could show you the spot on the street outside of our house where everything kind of came to a head. And it was like the Lord said, you are an idiot. That is unacceptable. You are making up excuses. It was a harsh rejection. You should not, cannot, you have no idea. It was, have you ever deserved, by the way, I deserved all of it. Have you ever deserved or experienced a spiritual pummeling from the Lord? Like where he say, let's just be clear about what's going on in your heart. Now, that was, you might think, oh no, that sounds hurtful. It was not. It was super helpful. Because at the same time he brought that correction, he also was sending his spirit to say, are you ready to change? Yes, Lord. Here, I will empower you. You're going to be different from this point on. And by the way, it changed who I was. It's not, I'm not just basing this on my experience, this challenging, this edge that God will bring if he's trying to get at our hearts sometimes. I'm doing my Bible time in the book of Acts right now. And in Acts chapter 13, there's a story. Paul is doing God's work. He's trying to share Christ with a leader, you know, like a mayor or a governor. It's called the proconsul. And the proconsul is like leaning into faith. But there's this other guy called Elymas who's trying to pull the proconsul away from the faith. And here's the story. It says, what is it? Elymas or alignment. Can I start over? Can we just begin again? Elymas tried to turn the proconsul from the faith. And then Saul, this representative of God, he says he looked straight at Elymas and said, you are a child of the devil. You are full of all kinds of deceit and trickery. Well, he's getting at it. And I would submit to you, getting at times when God gets at it is super helpful. If you're in a mess, honesty, clarity is helpful. If the house is on fire and you're sleeping, you don't need someone to come and sit on the edge of the bed and go, hey, sugar, I know you're sleeping, but you might want to think about getting up because smoke's filling the room and pretty soon we'll be dead, so you want to. That's right. You need someone to come in and say, "This is you are about to experience a tragedy, or you're in the midst of a tragedy, or do you see the destruction around you? Wake up." Hebrews 12:10. God disciplines us for our good. And then it just acknowledges, no discipline seems pleasant at the time, but painful. But the verse goes on to talk about the good news of discipline. Later on, however, it produces a harvest of righteousness and peace, which is an inside thing. All right, here's a question to bring this in the room. Then we got one little illustration. This point will be done. Fill in the blank. Am I willing to let God be honest with me? Are you willing to let God be honest? And our posture matters in this. By the way, God never lies. But I do think sometimes he's silent because he knows, like, you're not listening. And if does that make sense? So am I just, do I have a posture where I say, Lord, get in there and tell me what's really going on. We're going to finish this point. A friend showed me this video. He thought, hey, maybe this would work. I'm so glad he did. There's a little two-minute video illustration of kind of what we're talking about here. Watch this. We'll get back to the text in a second. Story. My wife is good with our children. Our kids now are adult kids, but it's been a couple years ago. She was talking to one of our kids, and she's telling me what happened during the conversation. So anyway, one of our kids, oh, by the way, this is a picture of my wife. I like her, but you'll rarely see her on the stage. She's more behind the scenes. She was talking about a conversation she had with one of our daughters. And our daughter's like sharing with my wife her hopes and her dreams and her concerns and, you know, all this deep stuff. And so I'm like, how do you do that? She doesn't talk to me about that stuff. And then this was what my wife said to me. She said, talk to them for more than 5 minutes. I was like, oh, never thought of that. By the way, she didn't say it with, like, she wasn't even being mean. She was like, oh, yeah, I'll tell you the secret. Here's what you do. Just talk to him. I don't know if those were her exact words, but she was like, yeah, just talk. Just sit. Of course, patient. Just can you just hang for a while and things will go deeper. You can write this in. Getting to the heart takes time. I think getting to the heart takes time most of the time, if that makes sense. Most of the time, our patience is going to be part of the process. Back to our text. Maybe you notice this. This is the revealing of the new king. God is going to get to the heart of the matter, a king that has a good heart. It took a while to get through the seven sons. This wasn't a quick interview process. By the way, God could have jumped over all of them, but that's not what he did. And at the end, where Samuel says, are these all the sons you have? And then Jesse says, there is still the youngest. He is tending the sheep. Pause. That does not mean historically, we don't know for sure, it doesn't say it in the Bible, but historically that doesn't mean, oh, he's outside in the barn tending the sheep. That means, oh, he's out on the hillside somewhere out there where the grass is green tending the sheep. So in the rest of the verse, when it says send for him, we will not sit down until he arrives. This implies a patience to get to where we want to go. This is my impression of the next hour or two or three while they send servants to go find David out there with the sheep. This is what they did. And by the way, did Samuel did it? Jesse did it? It goes on to say that when David gets anointed king, all of his seven brothers are there. So here's just a little side note. Sometimes you're not the center of attention, but your patience will be part of the story of God doing something amazing in another person's life. So God had all of them, because Samuel said, we are not going to sit down until David shows up. So I don't know whether that was 30 minutes. I would estimate it's longer than that. Hour, 2 hours. And they just had to wait for what the Lord was going to do. And by the way, to add to the patient side, they still didn't know that the answer would be yes. Does that make sense? It doesn't say, oh yeah, the youngest one, that's the one. They didn't even know that until David gets there. And then the Lord, patience is part of the, patience is part of the deal. I'll insert a verse here. But do not forget this one thing. Boy, whenever you read those kind of things in the Bible, I just think that's a prelude to something we should pay attention to. It says, right, do not forget this one thing. Dear friends, with the Lord, a day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years are like a day. God's timetable is very different than ours. He does not have a watch. He is not setting alarms. His calendar, his look at what we would call a calendar, way different. He's not driven by the same sometimes urgency of, he's like, no, I just want to get to the heart of stuff. Well, how long will it take? It doesn't matter. A couple illustrations and we'll be done. As I was thinking about this verse and this topic, a picture of if you were having heart surgery, so you were in that operating room, some doctors over you, going to do. What you wouldn't want to hear is one of the physicians say, oh, let me just do this real quick. Does that make sense? You would, if you were awake, you'd go, no, we got time. Take your time. I don't want you to do, does that, no, whatever time you need to do this, do that. Because it's too important. So the last fill in the blank and the challenge for us is, will we slow down enough to go deep? This is like an all church challenge for the next 5 weeks. Would we keep this in front of us? Will we slow down enough? This doesn't mean all of life has to slow down. Does that make sense? There are moments that the Lord will say, no, this is urgent. But are we willing to submit our schedule to God so that if he says, can we slow down here, we would go, absolutely. And this might apply to specific areas of life up on the screen now. These are just some things that came to my mind. These are like, should I slow down in my family life? Should I slow down in my conversations? Maybe it's friendships, decisions, prayer. Am I rushing? Gladness, that just had to do with our emotional health. We're waiting on the Lord. I don't know. Anything. And then there's some blanks there because it might be a different area of life for you that the Holy Spirit will come alongside you. I'm hopeful that he will come alongside us because he wants to do a good work in us and say, you got a few minutes? And our response would be, absolutely. You can remain seated as we pray to close the service, because we're not in a rush. Before we begin to pray, just so you know, over on this side, there is a group of people that will pray. about anything going on in your life. Maybe even this talk brings up something like, I think God wants to do a work in this. Come up and let them pray. All right, so Father, hopefully with anticipation, I ask that you would do some great work in us over the next 5 weeks, even today, even this afternoon. Probably almost all of us in this moment would say, we need you to go deep in our lives. And we hope that our time in church today was honoring to you. It's a privilege to gather in the name of Jesus. And I pray a blessing on the prayer team as they serve those who might come and receive prayer. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you so much for tuning into this week's message from our series, The Inside Story. We really do hope that this talk is helpful, encouraging to you. And listen, I think it's really important for us to go ahead and let God in to the root issues of life. Remember, if you need prayer for anything, you can email us at prayer@thevineyard.org. So thanks again, Vineyard, for joining us. See you next week.
Thanks for listening to the Vineyard Church Weekly Message Podcast. We pray you were impacted by this message. God bless and see you next time.